Hi, this is Amir.
And this is also Amir.
And you are listening to the You Don't Love Me podcast.
Life from the perspective of a gay South Asian married couple.
Do I leave these headphones on?
Yeah. Okay. I don't like having headphones on when we're recording. I know I should.
Yeah, I hate them too.
I just don't like being able to hear myself.
Mm.
It's like, it's really ugly.
Speaking of ugly, hello everybody and welcome to the You Don't Love Me Boys podcast. How are we doing today? How are you?
I'm good, and everyone listening is beautiful, and everyone watching on YouTube is beautiful, and everything is beautiful, darling.
Talk to me about the shawl situation that you've got going on.
Oh yeah, so when I get like a little cold, I just, you know, a little chilly.
Yeah, a little bit chilly. Do you know what? I really want to get a blanket on as well, but I think I'm just going to look really odd.
Yeah, probably.
With a face full of drag on, mind you, like, I'm already odd.
Yeah.
I'm already halfway there.
Girl, do what you want to do. It's your life and it's now or never.
It's your life and it's your day and you're going to seize the moment because you are sickening, diva.
You are what?
Fierce.
Uh-huh. And today, I really want to talk about something called alcohol.
Alcohol. Well, before we talk about alcohol, let's settle in. Let's get into the gig. Let's see how we're doing. How are you? How are you really doing?
I'm good.
How's your feelings?
I'm good. And I'm, yeah, that's
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Girl, okay, do you know when I'm you have that stop. In an interview, when you had interviews and you're like, where do you see yourself 5 years? I'm like, the answer has to be like, where you're sat right now.
But do you know what? So much of life is choreography. Yeah. So much of it is just this delicate dance because like, I don't know, like, do people really want to see people for who they are, or are we all just playing social roles? Because it's like, you know, what's the biggest obstacle you faced in the workplace? You answer that question, but you have to end it on a positive. That's the way you answer the question, and that's how you get trained to answer the question. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, why not be like, honest?
Why not just say, do you know what? I burnt the building down and I lost a leg. Rather than sitting and pretending like you haven't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, but the positive was that I learned about growth. Like, shut up. No, you didn't. You fucked up your last job. That's why you're finding a new one. And
no,
that's fine.
That's so true.
Say
but,
it.
But, you know, like you said, we're trained in these social roles and society to act and behave a certain way. So it's just a role you're playing. You're acting in that moment, in that interview.
Isn't
you know?
That scary?
And then, like, life has made it so scary to do that, and you're nervous and you're shaking and sweating. And I'm like, when you step back, you're just like, what are you doing? And, you know, I said to you years ago, probably, or whenever it was, I was like, when I realized, I'm like, oh my God, you go into meetings and like big boss people or whatever. That's what I like to call them now. And it's like, and have their arms folded and they have a demeanor and their stuff. And it's like, when you're in your head, I'm like, girl, right? You are the boss. You're higher up with your arms folded, having your voice on, doing all that. But guess what? You shit in the toilet too.
Exactly. Exactly.
You shit in the motherfucking toilet too. You have bogeys up your fucking nose.
You are all stood in that line in Tesco's buying food that you are going to shit out 6 hours later.
Literally.
What are we doing here?
Girl, Mary, call Mary right now.
No, literally.
What are we doing, Mary? Why is this whole, why have you actually bought into this aspect of, this is a hierarchy and I am better than you because of this and I have to have this demeanor and that demeanor. And, you know,
it's like, it's just wild. It's like, I remember working for this one company and they had this launch and they had like people from America come for some of their higher end, you know, higher up in the company. And like they had lighting and they had music and they had stage and we had to clap like as if it was fucking North Korea.
Oh,
do you know what I mean? It was like, it was insane. And I was like, why are we doing this? Mm. I don't understand why. Like, I mean, I get it. You'd respect a person for who they are, but like there has to come a point where you have to start seeing, there has to come a point where you have to check yourself and say, am I seeing this person as a boss, a celebrity, as a savior, or as a human being? Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it's the same with celebrities. Oh my God, these days, celebrity culture is insane.
Mm.
It's like, you know, you'll get people and they're like, especially in India, because obviously, like in the celebrity culture, they're huge and like they're falling all over and they're like getting into these spaces. And I'm like, it's an actor.
Yeah.
They do great films. Why can't you love them for what they do on screen and consume their products when you want. Why do you need to fall over hysterically? And I'm pretty sure a lot of them probably don't appreciate it anyway, because they're like, there's this one who recently had a child and she was going somewhere and the paparazzi were there and she was like, oh my God, please, can you at least let me lose some weight? Like, because she doesn't feel comfortable. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
It's like any other human. Yeah. You're not allowed to, you know. Celebrities are dehumanized in many ways.
Yeah.
The positive or the negative or whatever. And also it's interesting that, like,
dehumanized. Yeah. But then we do that to people when they're in certain positions. And yeah, stuff as well, and it's like, do you know, that must be really off-putting. I mean, in a very micro small level, it's off-putting for me. I could only imagine what it's like for people who are, you know, in real places of prominence, you know.
Oh yeah, 100%. And what I was saying was, it's interesting because, you know, big celebrities and actors and singers and performers always say, and people don't agree, and I see it, it comes with sacrifice. I'm like, yeah, that's a sacrifice.
It
and,
is,
because, you know, a lot of them would still do that job if it paid less,
yeah,
and they didn't have to have all these people running around because they love what they do.
Yeah.
It just happens to be what they love, what they, the thing they love to do pays a lot,
yeah,
and has the sacrifice of, girl, you got to lock yourself away from the world.
Lock on you.
Lock on you.
Lock on you. Yeah, I know, it's tough. It's tough. And that's the reason why you're a massive drunk. We're
going to
talk about, do you think you were, did you think you have, you had an alcoholic problem?
Oh no.
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 Then why are you shaking your leg?
I'm not shaking my leg.
Withdrawals, I see. No. So something, this is what you wanted to talk about as part of this podcast, which was alcohol. I love how I take like the interviewer role now that we have cameras. Have you noticed that?
Do you think?
Or do you think I'm just overbearing in general?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
You just do this, and then he does this thing where he keeps looking at his camera like this all the time. And I'm like, bitch, bitch, it's got you. Just look at me.
I look so pretty.
People are listening too.
No, I do look at you a lot, actually.
Oh, wow. Not enough for my liking.
Girl.
I mean, I'm so beautiful and pretty. You should look at me more.
Girl, shut up. Okay. So today we wanted to talk a little bit about alcohol, right?
Yes, babe. We've said it like 5 million times.
Okay.
They get it.
Alcohol.
Okay, they get it.
Booze.
You like to do this thing, you know.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when someone said something, and I think it's a thing you do in your head, but you say it out loud. You like, then you like to repeat what they say in a different way.
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's to help assimilate it in one's head. That's but, quite common.
Is that
common
for yourself?
It's quite common. People do it all the time.
No.
It's like, let me make sure it assimilates in my head.
Yeah, but you do it out loud, don't you?
I have a condition.
No, there's nothing wrong with it. We do it in our heads, but why do you do it out loud?
To kind of like bring me back into the room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you think it, like, that other people perceive that?
I don't think they care as much as you do.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I think otherwise.
I don't think people give a shit.
I think otherwise. I'm not going to tell you what I think.
People are going to be like, what is this episode about? I'm going to have to say it again.
No,
alcohol.
You don't. Fuck off.
Okay, go on.
Fuck off. Yeah, we don't drink anymore.
Okay.
We don't drink anymore.
No.
You stopped drinking before me, and this is wild. I want to know,
yeah,
first of all, what you were like when you were, you know, drinking.
Yeah.
You know, if there's any interesting stories you can share.
Okay.
Keep it short. Mm-hmm. When you stopped drinking and the difference it's had in your life.
Okay, Chanel, that was like five different questions.
That was actually quite good. That was three fair leading on ones.
Also, I just want to tell everyone that, like, because we are recording these podcast episodes in succession, I am still in face. So I still
live in face.
This is my face. Yeah, this is my new face. I just woke up, did my makeup, and this is who I am.
No, it's not makeup.
It's not makeup. I just washed my face. I washed my face.
You washed your face.
I washed my face.
This happened.
Alcohol. I used to drink. I had a great time drinking. I think I started drinking when I was 19 because we didn't really have it when we were growing up. And do you know, I just thought.
Wait, I love how that's late in British culture.
It is very
drinking
late.
Drinking at 19 is so late for Brits. How bad's that?
Well, people retire in their 30s because of old age. This is a post-Brexit world. Everything's falling apart. No, because I grew up in an ultra-Orthodox religious household and alcohol was strictly forbidden. Mm-hmm. I mean, if any of my family members were listening today, they'd be like, oh my God, he's drinking. Do you know what I mean? But I know I did. And I think one of the reasons why was because obviously I had friends who were, and they were having a great time. But I think because it was just so restrictive. And oftentimes if you really restrict me, I'll end up doing the opposite. Do you know what I mean? If I can't see reason behind it.
It's human nature.
It is human nature. Yeah. I'm quite standard that way. But so I started drinking, and then because I never had it around me growing up, I turned into a bit of a nightmare. So I would drink to the point of oblivion. I'd black out regularly. And I had long periods of time where I stopped drinking because it just wasn't for me. Then when you and I got together, I started drinking regularly again, because by then I had not quit, but I would rarely drink, like maybe once every 6 weeks or 6 months or something like that. Or a few months. So I then started drinking regularly. And then I think the menace started coming out again. And, you know, I'd have times where I'd apologize to you the next day saying, oh, I'm so sorry I said this. Or you would remind me and I wouldn't remember. And it was just a point where I was like, I don't think I can do this. And the hangover, I didn't really used to get much hangovers. I did have some really bad ones, but it was oftentimes the next day that I would lose, or the depressing feeling. You know, I've had depression in my life in the past, and I have had low times. So I try to avoid them. Do you know what I mean? And here is something that was causing it. So I was like, I don't like this feeling. I don't like the fact that I'm drinking the day before and I'm not recovering till 5 p.m. in the evening the following day. And I don't care who you are. Everybody says, oh, I don't get hangovers. I'm fine with it. It's cool. You're not. Do you know what I mean?
It might not be a headache, but you'll get something.
Social media, timestamp. You're getting ready. You're going to the gig. You're having the best time of your life. Then you're making a video about how everybody hates you. And then we don't hear from you for 12 hours. It's because you're having a hangover.
12 hours? Sometimes you don't hear from them for like a week.
Oh, mama, that's not alcohol. That's something else. But so that's the thing. So, you know, that's what I essentially wanted to avoid. And then another thing is I'm quite vain. So like there was this whole thing of like, you know, it can cause like veins to show up in your nose. And then there was the biggest thing for me was that I saw a study, and I don't know, I'm not a bona fide scientist. So like I can't say for certain, but the last time I looked, I believe alcohol kills brain cells and brain cells up to a point stop regenerating. So you have what you have. So I was like, oh, I'm going to drink this and get progressively dumber. And I did notice certain things where, like, you know, I would forget things, or I just wasn't up to speed the following day or even the following 2 days. And I was like, I just can't, for the life that I want to live, I just can't afford to have that happen all the time. And I don't know my limits because I have an addictive personality. I have an issue with food anyway. So with alcohol, it just adds to the mix. So I need to stop doing that. And that's essentially the reason why I quit. And I'll tell you how I sort of felt after quitting. But before I do that, what about you? What made you? Because you've only recently, in fact, only a few days ago, did you actually tell me that you've decided to quit drinking?
Yeah.
Because you weren't drinking. You haven't been drinking for about 6 months. Is that right?
Girl, like 9 months?
9 months. Yeah. And before you said, oh, if I do again, fine, whatever. But it's only now that you've said that you don't want to go back. And also, before I ask you that question, I just want to say, no judgment on anyone. Like, if anybody wants to drink, that's absolutely fine.
Oh, yeah, do you.
And also, different people handle things differently. Yes. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of people out there who are perfectly fine drinking, or they know their limits and they're 100%. Fine with it. But our stories are different.
100%. I will tell you right after this break.
Are we taking a break?
Yeah.
Okay, dokes. We will take a break and then we will be right back. And we're back.
We are back. And that seems like an abrupt break, but I know once I get going.
Yeah, read yourself.
You
okay,
know what
yeah.
I mean? Because so, I'm going to get going in a story and it's going to be a monologue and Shakespeare's going to be jealous. Do you know
see,
what I mean?
You can come for me, but then I get, because like I keep saying the same thing again or whatever it was that you had a complaint with me about, but then I can't come for you, but I'm glad you're coming for yourself because you do really go for a monologue, don't you? And I think it's because you used to be a teacher. I think it's because like, and you, do you know what, right? Okay, I'm coming for you. This is an intervention. There's a camera. I know. What you used to do is, you used to talk, and then you'd pause. So this is, I'm gonna pretend to
right,
be you.
This is your impersonation.
I'm gonna pretend to
of
be you,
old me,
and I want you to interact with me. Okay. So I'm gonna be like, and you know when you're dehydrated,
yeah,
you drink water, don't you?
Yeah. You do.
So anyway, and then this happens, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
And I was like, oh my god, he's pausing for dramatic effect, but he's not letting me interject into the fucking conversation.
Yeah.
Because he used to be a teacher.
And an English teacher at that.
An English teacher, yeah.
So that's very specific to the behaviours of, you know, it's very much like, so and then Juliet came to the window and...
Yes.
Yeah, it's very that.
Oh, okay, who's talking? Yeah, it's always that. always that. I was like, oh my fucking God. So sometimes I'd just be quiet and I was like, I'm going to wait for him to clock the fact that he's not in a classroom.
Yeah, it took a while. When I came out of the classroom, it took a while to adjust.
But now, I think this is trauma, but like, I think now you've got to a point where you're like, I will sell this house today. I will not be interrupted today. Do you know what I mean?
Right?
We don't even have conversation. We just talk at each other. Do you know what I mean?
I love it, right? When you're doing your mug,
yeah,
and I come in and, you know, I want to chill with you, and you're like, babe, I might not be able to talk. And I'm like, it's fine. I'm just going to talk at you. As long as I can talk at you, I'm good.
Yeah, you're like, I don't care.
I'm absolutely fine. Just be there.
Okay, go on.
I don't need a response.
Here's your monologue. What was the question?
So the question was, Chanel, about drinking and why I quit.
Yeah, why did you quit?
So I loved drinking.
Yeah.
This is a fact.
Yeah. You like the taste of alcohol.
I love the taste of alcohol, the cocktails, the mixers. I love getting people together, throwing a party, getting jello shots, testing new things out. I loved having our alcohol shelves that we used to have.
Remember one time we valued our alcohol shelf and it was in the thousands?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Mm. And I loved it. When I first started drinking, I was a teenager. Typical Brit when I was drinking.
Yes.
Typical Brit, 14 years old.
Mm.
And it was because my friends were. You know, my peers were, and I wanted part of it. And then when I did start drinking, it really released something out of me. You know, obviously I wasn't allowed to drink, you know, being a proper Muslim.
Yeah.
And it was like, ooh, I feel like out of control.
Yeah.
And I like this loss of control. Mm. You know, I really like this loss of control. I feel like I could be more confident and everything. And I went through I would say, it's not normal. Mm. Normal British stages of drinking I went through, you know?
So alcoholic.
Yeah, well, not alcoholic.
Okay. By British standards, normal. By international standards, she should be locked up.
Yeah, the Americans would be like, no.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah,
they'd be like, no, mama.
Yeah.
That's not it.
No.
You know, starting pre-drinking that early and having a whole bottle of this when you're pre-drinking and then continuing your night out and then puking up and then continuing and then 5 a.m., 6 a.m. and then going the next day. That's normal in Britain.
That's normal.
That's very normal.
I mean, you went for a walk this morning and you saw people leaving a club.
Yeah, yeah, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, 100, 100 plus people.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very normal in Britain. And, oh my God, I sounded so fancy then.
Yes.
And
we'll get to that.
So, you know, that continued. But the moment I stopped, February 2023, it was after your Contact Theatre show. Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you.
That was fantastic. And then you had this club night afterwards. And I remember going to the bar, right?
Yeah.
And I was already drinking a bit. And I ordered a drink and they said £10 something. I was like, in Manchester? And they kept like changing the price. And there was a moment in me and I was like, okay, I don't want to pay. And then
you ran.
And no. I did, because the drink was already poured. And then I was like, wait, I feel like the universe helped me. It hit me. I was like, I don't want to go out and continue dancing to this music that I don't really like. So I need to continue drinking so I could last longer in the night.
Mm.
But I'm like, why don't I just go home and end the night on a high?
Yeah.
And then I didn't actively go, I'm going to stop drinking.
Mm.
A few months went by, didn't it?
Yes.
And like, I was like, oh, I haven't had a
drink. Well, you didn't drink for a little while and you didn't even tell me. Well, that's very typical of you.
Yeah, it's very typical of me.
You're very secretive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have five wives. secretive. You don't know.
Wow.
You don't know where I've
Come
been.
Come on, super sperm.
Girl. And, you know,
don't I know it?
Fuck off.
Pregnant.
As the months went on, you know, I wasn't drinking more and more and more.
Mm.
And I was loving it. Going out. And when I stopped drinking and as the months went by, the things that I loved and that I was learning was so much. I loved knowing where my social battery ran out and stopping and coming home. I loved the fact I didn't need to go clubbing till God knows what time in the morning to fill some void. Right.
Yeah.
I love the fact that I didn't have to spend so much money on alcohol and it was so much cheaper.
Mm.
I love the fact that I love my morning walks and my exercise and stuff and that routine, and it really helped that. I found alignment with stuff I was loving.
You got more energy.
Yeah, and drink didn't fit.
And also
alcohol didn't fit into my life.
No.
It doesn't fit into what I want in life.
And there's that whole
this is the thing you were saying earlier.
The monologue.
And that's the thing. If you want to drink, work, fine, do what you want. It might fit into your life. For me, alcohol does not fit into the lifestyle I want, what I want to achieve, how I want to look, or anything like that. It just does not fit at all.
Mm.
Full stop. Mm,
that's really interesting. And also, I suppose the other element for me was the whole social lubricant element, you know, it's like, oh, it acts as a social lubricant. And then I was like, so then I can't socialize with people without drinking. I want to put that to the test. Do you know what I mean?
And
then,
fine.
Yeah. And, you know, I also, as part of my slow departure from alcohol, I used to drink a lot of non-alcoholic drinks as well, like non-alcoholic wines. I love them, and non-alcoholic spirits as well. Yeah. I do actually still love them, but I just don't have them anymore.
They got expensive, you know.
Have they got expensive?
Yeah, some of them are the same price as normal. And I'm like, bye.
Oh no, get out. But you know, that's the type of stuff that really, really helped, actually. So actually, if anybody is looking to stop drinking alcohol, try the non-alcoholic stuff. Like non-alcoholic Heineken beer tastes, for me, tastes the same as alcoholic beer. And yeah, and then slowly, and I was like, actually, I don't even need to drink and I'm fine with a Diet Coke. You know,
a lot of the time it's just wanting that thing in your hand.
It's that, yeah, and it's that social lubricant element. Also, another thing is like, oh, I'm so sorry I said that, I was drunk. No, bitch, that is you. That is you.
Drag
with just
old me.
With a few less inhibitions. You lose your inhibitions. You don't transform. I don't think you transform. You just lose inhibitions. So I was like, if that's the case, then I don't want to know what people really think of me.
Do you know what?
I don't want to hear that drunk conversations about me. Like, I don't want that. So, no.
It's really interesting because, you know,
I don't want to make them about anyone else either.
In my younger years, I would drink and, you know, I don't want to start drama.
Yeah.
And, you know, come for me, bitch. Come for me, bitch. I will come for you. And, like, I've forgiven myself because I was so unconscious at the time in my youth. You know? I was going through it and you have to forgive yourself. And I don't want to be that person anymore.
I just want to say, for legal reasons, my husband was fully conscious when we got together.
Yes.
Nothing untoward. Anyway.
And you know, I don't want to be that person anymore. And being sober, what's been an interesting thing is I don't enjoy being around people that get progressively drunk anymore. I really don't enjoy it. For some people, I see them and I'm like, even friends, I'm like, you shouldn't be drinking. It doesn't work for you. You know, the switch happens in them. And it's like, they're not nice. but they do things. I've had things done to me from friends that haven't been nice,
really?
And that's because they've been drunk, and it's really been hurtful. And I'm fully aware and conscious and present because I'm sober. And it's like, oh, so you've done X, Y, and Z to me because you're drunk.
But I know what incidents you're talking
about.
Yeah,
I know, of course.
And it's a single incident.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's, you're going to continue on this path of drinking, even though you know and you've said that you should drink less because it's not good for you.
Okay, so here's where the no judgment comes in, right? Maybe, and I have a theory, not necessarily for everyone, but like those people who do get drunk to the point of having a problem, maybe they're just working through stuff.
Do you know what? I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
But can I tell you something?
Yeah.
You can work through stuff away from me.
You can, well, yeah. Or you can work through stuff whilst they're working through stuff.
Yes. If you're working through stuff, and you want to be messy in a mess, I can stay away from you whilst you're working through stuff. That is absolutely fair because I've been there. I've worked through stuff.
And, you know, some people have a perceivably healthy relationship with alcohol and they're perfectly fine. Like, you know, when I do my drag shows, a lot of the audience drinks. In the vast majority of
the audience drinks. Of course, and they're great.
And they roar with laughter and they have a great time. But, like, people aren't getting paralytic. They're not being dragged out. They're not fighting or anything.
No.
They're just...
That's what I don't like.
They're just having a great time. And, you know, those times of getting drunk... And we have had that together as well. Remember,
we've had so many fun times.
We have had
great
times drinking together.
Any particular stand out to you?
Yes, there was one incident that I don't want to talk about, but we were by the sea and that was really, really fun. And it was after a long break of drinking and we were drinking and it was kind of reminiscent of what it used to be like. That was quite special. But I think a lot of my favorite drinking times have probably been in Hungary when we've been in Budapest and we'd be out on the streets.
Shots bar.
Yeah, on the terrace or whatever it's called. And Shots bar, shout out to you, Shots bar. And we would just drink cocktail after cocktail.
They were really
and
cheap.
They were so cheap. They were like £1.40 each and they were massive. And we just get drunk. And it was so fun. And I swear the staff there used to be so like strict and straight faced, but we just didn't give a shit. We were like, this is cheap. But do you know another iconic time we drank was Turkey. When it was just pure alcohol. It wasn't even alcohol. It was gasoline.
I don't know what happened.
It was petrol. It was a petrol station.
Was that
station.
The time where we only
it
had
wasn't
one,
a bar, it was
had
a petrol.
One drink and we don't remember what happened.
It wasn't a bar, it was a petrol station. They thought we were cars. They got the jugs out, filled it with fuel, and put a little bit of cranberry sauce in and went, here you are, love. Best of luck. And I barely remember coming home that day. And we'd only had one or two drinks. It was, and we were convinced that we were spiked. I don't think we were spiked. I think it was just the sheer amount of alcohol that was in those drinks. That was iconic.
Oh, were you? Difficult flight back.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, you don't remember that part, do you?
No.
That was the final night where we said we were only going to go for one drink.
Yeah.
And that one drink, we don't remember how we got back. We had a flight the next day, and then you had to drive from London back up.
Oh, I remember driving very safely that night. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was the next day. You weren't hungover or anything.
No, bitch, but I remember that was a rough drive.
It just killed you off.
That was a tough drive.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, no wonder I'm exhausted now.
Girl.
Gosh, we've lived quite the life, haven't we?
We have.
We certainly have.
And now we are the good Muslim boys that our families want.
Yeah, we're celibate.
No.
We married. No. Okay, just me then. No, so we don't drink. We don't smoke. We don't do drugs.
We don't even eat pork.
We don't eat pork, no.
So work, like...
Work,
we
diva. We're good little Muslim boys. Well, I suppose that's the end of this episode then, isn't
it? Darling.
Here's to two good Muslim boys.
You love me.
We, but you.
Oh my God. That's why I don't say it.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you for putting up with us. If you drink alcohol, please continue as long as you're happy with it. Do drink responsibly. However, if you do want to quit, then make sure you get in touch with the appropriate resources. Maybe we should even put a link out or something. You know, people can reach out.
That's my job, isn't it? You'd have to say
like an NHS link or something. But anyway, we love you. Send in your comments, subscriptions,
send in your
suggestions, everything. Do it, man. Yeah,
nudes.
Yeah, nudes, money. Yes, nudes, money. Love you guys, we love you, but you don't love me. Goodbye. Let's get blooded.
Thank you for listening to the You Don't Love Me podcast with Amir and Amir. For all the latest happenings, you can follow us on Instagram @YouDon'tLoveMeBoys. That is @YouDon'tLoveMeBoys.